This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 309 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my Talk Franklin conversation with Town Administrator Jamie Helen. We had our conversation via conference bridge, as usual, to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. In this session, we talk about the water conservation measures that happen annually versus a ban, which happens once in a while, and currently now. Brutus Cantareggi, our DPW director, will hold a virtual coffee session on Tuesday, June 30th. We talk about the budgets, closing out FY 2020 and starting FY 2021, and gradually work into reopening with more restaurants either doing outdoor dining or gradually reopening for indoor dining with the appropriate social distancing measures, as well as the 4th of July weekend. Much of the events have been canceled due to the restrictions. But we close on a positive note with concerts on the Common opening Friday, July 24. Farmers Market will be there in the afternoon. There's plans for a movie and a band with space for the audience appropriately socially distanced on the Common, reinforcing the need that we need to maintain the social distancing, face covering, hand washing, etc., to keep our reopening process gradually underway. The recording runs around 40 minutes, so let's listen to my conversation with Jamie. All right, Steve Sherlock for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM, 102.9 on the local Franklin radio dial, here for our weekly Talk Franklin session with Town Administrator Jamie Helen. Happy Friday, Jamie.
Hey, Steve. Happy Friday. Beautiful day out.
Yes, it is. I'm looking to get out. I got to go too. Water my gardens.
That's why we're doing this a little earlier today, right? I got to go water my gardens too. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I go my hair
and water them. And water them.
Hand water, of course.
We'll get into that in a minute.
Yep. Yep. We'll get into that. Yeah. I took my early walk to get my haircut. My second haircut since. But that'll give me a chance when we get away, which we'll also talk about in terms of the 4th of July, that I'll be easier to, towel off. But speaking of water, why don't we jump into that one? Because clearly, and I think even on the town council meeting, there's a discussion around water conservation versus water ban.
Yeah, so the bad news of the week is that due to a series of things which we'll talk about now, the rising drought conditions in Massachusetts essentially forced the town of Franklin to put in a actual water ban. And that means what it means, which means you are prohibited from using water on your property for those purposes like irrigation, lawn watering, and so forth. Hand watering, as just referenced, of your garden is still okay. And obviously the general uses you use inside, your bathing showers, all that stuff, right?
Food, yep. And everything.
That's not what this is about. This is about the issue of lawn watering mostly. And it's very different than water conservation. Water conservation is, a lot of people see us each year with a sign on the island and downtown Village Mall. They see signs all around town that say there's a water ban every Wednesday. That's actually a water conservation measure. And that water conservation measure is actually outlined in our water permit from the state DEP, where the conservation is something that will be there for the next 12 years while our permit is active. And in all likelihood, it's going to be there forever.
Right.
And that's just designed to take one full day of rest to the system. And I will mention, the good news is the town of Franklin actually responds to this stuff quite well. I really mean that. If you look at the numbers statistically, when we do these things and promote them, the town really does respond. A couple years ago when there was another ban, or actually this was last summer around the water treatment plant fire,
right.
There was instantly within days hundreds of thousands of gallons of water being saved just from that message. So
right.
That's the behavior you need. That's the behavior that Franklin virtually always delivers. And we appreciate that very, very much. And we appreciate the citizens' patience with all this. The oddity of this year is, was really, as you saw in the numbers, Steve, at the meeting, was really about June. If people look back further, this has been a structural problem for months where we didn't have much snowpack, which is great when no snow comes, right? Mm-hmm. We'd like right. that.
Sure.
But then you also get into this, it's basically the first step towards this, right? And then we had a gloomy and raw spring, but it wasn't really fraught with a tremendous amount of downpours and soaking of the ground. And then you get into a May and a June, which has been relatively one of the driest periods that we've ever had in the state history, actually, in terms of precipitation levels. And what we're getting are these hard, short downspurts in water, which feel like a lot, but actually most of that water just runs right off into the drains and doesn't really soak back into the ground. And as we know in Franklin, all of our drinking water comes from the ground. It's all drinking water supply. There's no MWRA, there's no pipes, there's no surface water. So recharging aquifers and having groundwater is critical, like really critical towards our health and safety and our own prosperity, revenue, you name it. And so there was a state drought management task force meeting on Wednesday. It looks like they're going to go to a level two drought advisory at some point, if not already. And, Brutus jumped on it fast. He saw the numbers. The reality is in the 3 weeks in June, with so many people home and it being so dry outside,
right?
People are home looking at their brown lawns.
Yeah.
And I'm sure turning on the spigots at near record levels. And so we had to obviously do that, mainly because our water tank levels were getting low, which really truly gets into the water pressure that's in your house for all your listeners and your showers, the stuff that actually really does matter to us.
Yeah, fire safety.
And obviously the fire safety. And you're going to see this over the 4th of July, which makes it even more critical. Fireworks are illegal in Massachusetts, and I can tell you from the signage that's come out on 495, as well as the state fire marshal's office, it does appear, due to the extremely dry conditions in Massachusetts, that officials will be paying attention to those who want to try to set off fireworks, because this year especially, they're going to be, they can be very, very dangerous for obviously fires because of the dry conditions. So I've asked something unique that we've never done before out of our DPW director, which is to have some outreach sessions to try to talk about this water ban issue, help educate the community. We know that there are people that try to sometimes inaccurately portray this as a development problem. In some ways, it is. But on the other hand, we have more than enough water under our Water Management Act permit for the need. But we really needed to kind of halt the lawn watering for a while until our water tank levels can get back up to speed. So Brutus is going to be meeting via Zoom on Tuesday the 30th at 9 a.m. for a coffee with Brutus Cannareggi. I hope all of your listeners tune in and chime in a little bit and ask the tough questions. Brutus knows about as much of this as anybody in Massachusetts, so he should be able to answer those. I was very impressed the other night, Steve. I gave him a compliment on his response to grass. If you notice, brown grass is okay. I had no idea that when the grass turns brown, the grass is actually trying to save and conserve its energy for the long haul.
Right.
He reassured everybody that come September, hopefully that grass starts to become green again. So, it's not really what everybody wants to hear. We certainly understand that, respect everybody's opinions on these things. But I did want Brutus to be able to get out there and talk to people a little bit more about, if people had questions about the water treatment plant from last summer, what the current drought situation is, why a water ban, what's water conservation, what's been our history. He'll have the slides up. He'll talk about some of the numbers, and hopefully this is a resource for the next couple months that it would be helpful to the town residents to be able to understand these issues in the point depth.
Yeah, indeed. It was an effective presentation. Certainly there were some numbers in there that I hadn't seen currently, and those are good, and they're telling. Those are good stats. The other piece, and I think somebody actually asked Brutus as well, it's been a common thread in multiple of the social media posts where, let's just stop developing, we're going to have a water problem. Well, even if we did stop developing, he said, we would still have the water conservation measures because that's the way the permit is.
That's correct. We also would have a revenue problem.
We would.
I don't mean that just for water. I mean that in terms of like our government running, teachers and firefighters and all the staff and the expenses and the service levels. When you stop development, you basically cut off your revenue stream. And this is one of the things I highlighted in my budget message, which I don't think got a lot of play, rightfully so. It doesn't stick out. It's not the issue of the day. But if you look in the population chart and the table at the beginning, I put that there for a reason, because there's this assumption and notion that somehow Franklin is growing at
rapidly.
This obscene level. And the truth of the matter is it's not. It's actually the inverse.
Yep.
If you look at the 80s and 90s, the town was growing 30% each year. And then the early 2000s, it got down to 10 or 12% growth in that decade of population. And you look at this decade, 2010 to 2020, it was only another 4,500 residents populated the town. When if you split that per year, you're talking like an extra 400 people coming to town a year.
Yeah. Numbers I've seen, it's actually less than that. It's like less than 1% a year.
So I think the issue that people feel, and I think this does tune into water, which is when you build all that up over 40 years, you question what it is. But the truth is that the town is not growing at an obscene level. And we've talked about this on the show before, the DNAB apartments. All but 13 of those are going to be one or two bedrooms. That is not going to produce many children, if any at all.
Right.
But it's 257 units. And so therefore, when people hear 257, they go, oh my God, that must be 500 kids.
Right.
It's actually almost going to amount to zero.
Yeah.
Certainly there will be a few, but, I think that also the infrastructure in Franklin, meaning roads, sidewalks, fields, were built maybe not for a population of 35,000 people. So people feel the traffic, feel the backup at the lights. They feel it on 1:40 in the morning. They see the backups on the Pond Street.
Right.
I think that's the stuff that people feel. And as you know, we try to maintain the infrastructure within our budget as much as we can. But the truth of the matter is we get tens of millions of dollars in backlog of road projects to fix these things, if not hundreds of millions in terms of those intersections. But the town is actually growing at a less pace than it ever has since like the 60s or 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And to some degree, the Water Management Act permit actually accommodates what we have.
Correct.
It's just the trend in Mother Nature that's changing. And it's the trend in terms of how we're dealing with this pandemic, with everybody being at home and dry, and it's hot, and people just want to get out. They want to mow the lawn, and if it's brown, they can't mow it, right? Hopefully these sessions with Brutus will really be helpful to the residents. I know there's always people that have comments about this, and hopefully they'll be very productive for people to tune into. So that's just the first one. Hopefully we'll see how that goes, and maybe we'll set some more up in July, and I hope a lot of people.
Yeah, because I think this is where, in this kind of conversation, is really where we can get at some of the nuance. Because, your point, maybe some people, when they read it, it didn't fit the soundbite that they wanted. And the details are important, because while the population hasn't grown rapidly, it's grown at a small percent, the revenue, at least, generated by our growth has been smartly enough to cover us for postpone some of the budget issues, which is key, setting up for that ongoing discussion around the inclusionary zone. How much do we really need to adjust what we have in order to make sure we get what we really need going forward? And then that ties in with that other MAPC study, which is coming up too.
Absolutely, and it ties into the budget stuff that is here, which is for FY20, which closes out on Tuesday. We didn't have to make any cuts really in FY20. Obviously, there was some furloughs from some one-time revenue accounts and services that weren't provided. But you know, overall, as the municipal side, we conservatively predicted our revenues, and sadly, we were right on target. Actually, the thing we didn't know was that there would be 3 months where we wouldn't bring in almost any revenue.
Right.
In terms of permits, licenses, and all the other typical stuff. And to your point, the growth that we have had in terms of the money that we've been able to bring in to assure our auditors of the additional $1 million in the general stabilization fund for our interest rates and bond rating, the additional $1 million in cash we were able to put away from growth and development into the open space stabilization fund. I know most people are not aware of that, but that's, to me, a huge success in the last year, given that we had almost no money in the bank for any open space preservation at all. But to come out on June 30th and only have to transfer 67 grand around really is a testament to all the staff, all the finance folks, and Chris and Kerry for being able to see this. Chris made a joke to me one day. He's like, gosh, it's like we were almost prepared for the pandemic. And I said to him, yeah, we were. Because to your point, Steve, we've had some record-breaking revenue years the last couple.
Sure.
And part of the reason for that was because we were modest, conservative, and we have humility when it comes to the spending. If we had guessed another $1 million in revenue because we wanted to go to the top penny of what we thought we could get,
right,
we would have just had to have slashed $1 million in services.
Sure.
So, obviously, 21 and 22 are going to be more challenging, but that's a cause and effect of an economic cycle anyway. It's not really a result of poor budget management at the town level.
No, and I think even if somebody took the free cash as a percent of the budget, you know, so you're less than 2% error margin effectively for the last decade plus. That's pretty decent on $130 million.
Yeah.
Now you've got a transfer of $60K. That's a, in your terms or Jeff's term, famous one, de minimis amount in terms of
stamp money.
What the adjustment is, right?
Well, I mean, if you think of it from a very pure, simple business perspective, of an ROI, however term you want to use, I think any business in America that's running a $130 million operation would say, hey, you know, we withstood the tornado when it hit.
Right.
And was able to make sure that we had the people here in place to be able to protect the community and all that stuff. So, you know, I understand that the budget challenges that will be going on at the school committee level over the next couple months will unquestionably be challenges. These are not new discussions, as we know.
Yep.
And I think it's important for all the listeners to be a part of that process, but also recognize that this is a completely fluid situation. And to be sitting here today, not doing what Brookline had to do, and other communities that we're seeing that had exponentially large layoffs already in FY20, let alone 2021.
Right.
I think speaks a tremendous amount to our department heads and our philosophy on how you prepare and manage a budget, right?
I think it's nice
to say we took a conservative approach, but I like to even think of it as actually an honest and realistic approach as opposed to just a conservative one.
A fiscally prudent approach in another set of terms. Yeah.
Setting yourself up for success and trying not to set yourself up for failure. And,
right,
and I'm trying to point fingers at Brookline, by the way, or other communities, but sometimes they maybe go a little bit above and beyond what they really sustain for the long term.
This one was a headline, I think, from the MTA, Mass Teachers Association, that 2,000 of their members had gotten the notifications. At least in Franklin, we're fortunate. Approximately half of those have already been called back. But to your point, this is still fluid. So that's where those listening, stay tuned. School committee added a second meeting in July because they're going to need to. They weren't going to be able to get through business with just one meeting. So I think it's the 14th and the 28th. Okay. Town council still has a meeting. And if I recall, while FY21 is starting, you're expecting something probably in a September, October timeframe to relook at the budget based upon what the state finally does.
We're going to put in some financial policies eventually in the next couple of weeks for the departments. Like I say, my message, I mean, just because the budget was approved last week does not mean we're going to spend it.
Right.
So we're going to still make operational adjustments, anticipating a large series of cuts in October. There's just simply no way the state, barring some unforeseen circumstance that we don't know, they're going to have to make some cuts. The superintendent and I wrote our advocacy letter to our United States Senate delegation, Mr. Markey and Ms. Warren, for what's going on down in D.C.
Right.
Congressman Kennedy has done his part on the House side. Obviously, those are political dynamics, not necessarily representative of any individual congressional leader. But he did put in that advocacy letter to ensure them from the local level that our federal delegation has heard the superintendent and I loud and clear. The same thing with our legislative leaders. We had them on the town council meeting on June 3rd. The message was obviously not in our favor, but they need to hear from us. I sincerely hope that I can get some additional superintendents and town managers to chime in with their legislators to make sure that they are well aware that cuts to local aid is easy to explain to the taxpayer. Cuts to local aid clearly indicate that is cuts to teachers, that's mm-hmm. cuts to school program, that is cuts to fire and police and DPW
yep.
and custodian.
Public safety. Yep.
And that means reductions and additional staff to put pressure on finance or the planning. We're pretty lean machine. I think anybody that reads through our budget knows our police department has two administrative personnel. Our fire department has one administrative assistant, one person yep. for the whole department for the city of 35,000 people. We have three people in the town clerk's office. You cannot run elections with two.
No.
You know,
that's
we
why
have
they recruited an army of
office that
poll
has
workers.
Five and a half. Yeah. I mean, you know, you look at the assessors, we got rid of it when an administrative assistant retired. We invested 10 or 15,000 more in an appraiser to help bring us in more revenue and new growth
right.
On the appraisal schedule. We have three people in the planning department. You know, I mean, these are really, really lean staff. I mentioned that my, you know, my budget, obviously I got called out. I think it was a token compliment in some ways. My budget is $90,000 less than it was 2 years ago, and that's because we keep moving day in and day out to realize we don't need this anymore. We don't need that. We're going to mm-hmm. do this. We're going to change it over here. We're going to move these people around, and that's just what we do behind the scenes every day. But there's not a lot of room, and when we get that 10%, 15%, 20% local aid cut, there's going to be some people in this community that are going to look back at all of our elected leaders at the local, state, and federal level and go, whoa, what's the answer to this? And so, you know, I think that, you know, a lot of the folks in town that have read those letters have been enthused that we've been able to step up, Sarah and I, and send that stuff off and hopefully be advocates to the citizens of the community. And as you said, we'll be likely, when the state gets done with its budget, we'll relook at that in September and October and hopefully make
and then keeping the focus on as we continue to get into this, what, part two, phase two, and eventually hopefully phase three of the reopening with more and more of retail and the restaurants, not just with outdoor dining, but now with indoor dining and restrictions, getting out and about appropriately and doing that accordingly with social distance, face coverings, hand washing, yada, 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 then that in itself should help the town revenues as well.
Yeah. So I think, you know, obviously meals tax, if you go back and look at the budget, hotel taxes, you know, many other things, are revenue sources, permits, licenses, we want businesses to stay in business, because then if they don't, we obviously lose revenue from multiple ways. And we lose jobs, you know, you lose consumer spending, you know, it just goes in the direction that we're all, you know, at a certain age, we're all used to, because we've seen these things before. But it's been great recently to see the restaurants pick up a lot more. Chrissy in our office has been great at getting a lot of the outdoor permits out. I should note more, just as importantly, is a lot of businesses in Franklin already had outdoor seating.
Correct.
And so, you know, everybody from Mac Deli to the Glen Farmer Distillery has various types of outdoor dining outside, right? And so those businesses are all open, and we have about another half a dozen or a dozen restaurants that have opened. We've been working with Teddy Gallagher's to get that open in the alleyway so we can have some tables there. We've got a couple more T's and I's to cross, but I have no doubt that will be happening fairly soon. I believe he's trying to open up the next weekend. And so that's really good news for downtown Franklin. That alley being hopefully a place that people can sit outside.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, that all helps the revenues for the town in terms of those small taxes that people pay on meals and stuff. And, you know, it helps get us back in hopefully a pattern where we were anticipating early in the year, A, July and August, we may not be bringing in anything. And B, even if we were, it's going to be real slow slog.
Right.
And I think that the fact that they're open now and the fact that we'll be getting phase three, assumably on July 6th, which allows people to have indoor business to 50%, you know, I think that those will be really helpful to the town in terms of its revenue stance. And hopefully by the time we get to October and November too, Steve, we'll get the local aid cut. But if things are really going well, maybe some of the revenues locally offset our local aid cut.
Right.
And maybe it doesn't need to be as bad. So,
yeah.
You know, if we're out there, and just to make a quick plug, we don't want people to be unsafe, but if we're concerned about the school department and we're concerned about the impacts there, locally we do have some power with our feet. We can take our family out and or go on a date night. If I did a couple, you know, like I did last week,
mm-hmm.
with a farmer, and, you know, put some money in their pockets, which also pays a small percentage in town. And, you know, maybe with July and August, if we have a robust summer and people are safe and we're not ending up like Florida is right now, you know, maybe by the time we get to October and we look at those numbers, some of the local aid cut, if it's 15%, maybe it ends up being 12% because our local coffers are so strong. So,
right.
You know, we do have some ability here locally. We have very little control over the legislature. They're in their situation where they are. But, you know, we do have our ability here in Franklin to go down to, you know, King Street, Spruce Pond, you name it. And obviously I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, because if I didn't, I know you would, Steve, you know, wear the masks, stay away from people, wash the hands. You know, I'm going to sound like a broken record for the listeners to listen to every one of your shows.
Yep. We need to reinforce that message.
This is where the rubber meets the road. It just is.
I mean, yep.
We're only going to not end up like Florida and Texas and Arizona right now if we all do the best we can. And I know there's some little bit out there back and forth. You know, I'm not wearing this. I'm not doing that. It's not the case for most people in Franklin, but you know, we really need to do that. It's the droplets that come out of your mouth while I'm talking to you right now. There's droplets mm-hmm. that are going all over my keyboard, and that's just the way it happens. Everybody else's fear about holding every handle or guardrail or door, I mean, that's legitimate, but you know, most of that is not where this transmission comes from.
No, there's a very small percent chance of that happening.
Yeah. Hanging out not being disciplined enough, and just simply that's it. So when we're in common, I try to frame it as like when we're in common spaces together as people, wherever we're at,
mm-hmm.
let's do the best we can. If we're right. at our own table at the restaurant with our own family, that's when the masks usually come off, right? If we're at yep. our own desk, like right now, when I'm in my office, I don't have to wear a mask, right? But when I'm right. out at the events, you know, we got to do it. And if you need to take a breather for a minute, okay, take it off. Catch your breath, take a little walk, get some water, you know, put it back on and try to do the best so we can make sure that we don't end up like those states. It's not my, by the way, I'm not trying to, you know, ridicule them, but the stats are the stats. And if you look at the numbers, okay, the death toll in America has plummeted, which is good.
Yes.
But the case number has gone through the roof in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And so, what does that tell us? It tells us that 20-somethings, 30-somethings, 40-somethings, and 50-somethings are going out. They're not paying attention to stuff. They've been told to just live your life like you did pre-COVID. And that's when you, that, now you're starting to see the young, healthy people are getting it. They're transmitting it to people. They're going home. They're going to the parents. And that's where you're seeing the problem. For those states, it's almost like they're back in March all over again.
Right.
And we don't want that in Franklin. We've worked too hard. We've sacrificed too much to take any deviation back. I want to go back to the concert venues. I want to be in phase four. I want to get out of the building and go back to life. I know you do too, Steve.
Sure.
So I just, I sound like a broken record. I might even sound really annoying to some people, but, you know, it has to be said.
No, that's fair. And clearly to reinforce the point, if we have more staycations, especially if we're not doing a whole lot of traveling with the 4th and some of the festivities that are not happening, then, yeah, have the dinner out or do a takeout. Yeah. You know, if you don't want to have it out or... Yeah. Then do the takeout, or at least support the local businesses. So
it's funny you should mention that. We were like everybody, our vacations got canceled in April, the April vacation, and my wife went a few times, like I said, and so she's starting to think like, all right, what do we do? And I just said, why am I going to go travel to another state right now? Why don't we just let's go up to Gloucester for a long weekend, go to the beach a couple times or something, and just try to do some staycations, keep the money local. And try to do stuff for the Massachusetts economy and not trip any of these things that are coming up with 14-day quarantine, and I told her, we should be lucky and thankful we're in the position we're in to be able to do these things, to be able to take a couple extra days off. So, we're doing exactly what you said, Steve. I'm glad you mentioned it. Trying to keep the money here locally, try to enjoy Massachusetts. Hopefully we can keep this thing going through the summer.
And there are things to enjoy here. So indeed. So I'm sure you must have a cultural reference for us there. What do you have in the watch or viewing or listening pleasure time for this week?
So I'm going all local again. I'm going to turn a little bit here because today's a Hallmark day. I was on my FM earlier this morning with Ray and I'm excited for him, we all know Ray. We love Ray. Did a great job over there with those guys. And, he's obviously, in a local band, bunch band, actually. And he is going to be kicking off our, hopefully, our Concerts on the Common series, which a month and a half ago we thought was never going to happen.
Yeah, that
and
was
and now
on the
we're,
miss list.
We're ready to go. And July 24th. So I'm not going to promo some national band today and have people go do streaming.
Okay. Stay local. Absolutely.
I want people to hear this now so they can kind of mark their calendars. The farmer's market will be down in the Common, obviously. And that evening there'll be two bands and a movie night for families after it gets dark. And, we're just excited about that. And we're not successful yet. We were definitely planning on no food trucks. We were originally planning on a local craft garden with our local vendors of wine, beer, and the distillery. Again, speaking to the fluidity of things, a few weeks ago, Ryan and I, we didn't think that would even be something that, contemplate, right? We've just started looking at that again and seeing if maybe there's a couple of additional amenities. We've checked with other towns. And we've checked with the state and, we're going to be framing out the Common to accommodate the 6 feet. We're going to require people to wear masks when they're at the event.
Right.
We're going to try to prioritize seating in that like little amphitheater kind of setting that we all know on the Common. And I just think that we might be able to still be able to, have a couple of food trucks. might be able to convince the craft folks in Franklin maybe to set up a small tent with some small samples. Again, baby steps. You know, we're definitely not getting back into let's have Brewfest. You know, these are the small things we're still looking at. So I just wanted to put that out there. I know Ryan's really excited about it. I know Anne Marie's really excited about it. I am. I'm hoping that the situation doesn't change where we have to pull the event. You know, make a plug for the farmers market is open. Obviously fewer vendors than they normally have, but we certainly encourage people to go up and take a look around. And hopefully on July 4th, I believe it's 6 p.m., maybe 5 or 6, 6 p.m., we're going to have a socially distant, compliant concert on the Common with a movie night to follow up. So that's the cultural reference of the week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get back into other rock and roll bands in maybe a couple of weeks. But, you know, I'm also hoping, funny enough, you know, I was saying all this stuff right on the show to you know, have a lighthearted moment, but I also was, for the last 3 months, we were also at home all the time.
Right.
So these things out there were never even a possibility.
No.
And now they are. And so maybe we can get off the computer, get off the streaming of the events, and old concerts and things and shows, and maybe we can go back out and see some real
people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plan for good weather. Put in the request.
Excuse me, Mother Nature. We would like a dose of today.
Yeah. Right? Have it rain early in the morning and then clear the rest of the way. Because we need that nice low rain, slow rain, so it can soak into the ground and help our aquifers. But we want to have the event without rain.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then eventually at some point, the Common, and I will have I think it's Cynthia Garbowski. Hopefully she'll be queued up because we'll do more on the farmers market. Yeah, to your point, there's less vendors, but I went through there and there's still some good choices of vendors. Some of them have changed their process, so in some cases you need pre-order. You just can't walk in and grab stuff, but there is stuff there. So pre-planning.
Yeah, I think we also have to remember, and I've been trying to think this way, it's a week by week thing.
Right.
You know, I'm sure that system is there for a reason now, probably some state guidelines and stuff. But, you know, I'm hoping that over the course of the summer, if we can keep these trends going and people feel that comfort when they go out, like I did when I went out a couple times, you know, that maybe these things get laxed a little bit by the time we get to August. And the farmers market's planning on going like they usually do all the way to October. So there's still plenty of time to get fresh goods.
Yeah.
And they are open today, as a matter of fact.
They are
an hour ago for
We are indeed. Yes. Well, goodness. Well, thank you for your time today. Have a great weekend. For the listeners, we'll be skipping next week in terms of recording session, but for those listening on the radio, you'll catch one of the replays of one of our prior sessions, so you won't miss us there. But we'll catch you on the other side then, Jamie. Have a great weekend.
We'll see you in a couple weeks, Steve. Have a great 4th of July. Wish everybody a great time. I should mention, you know, we got to mention this quickly, but sadly the 4th of July in Franklin this year was canceled. I have no doubt that those gentlemen will be ramping up and have a whole another year to plan. But as I joked with them, and I know they don't really feel this way, but now they have a 4th of July actually off. You know, it might not be the worst thing in the world for everybody to take a breather. You know, our public safety personnel, usually it takes the entire departments to organize those events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after what they've been through this year, to have a little space for a week might be nice. You know, everybody's vacations, plans, everything's gotten canceled. And so, you know, sadly that had to be canceled, but we certainly look forward to later in July and obviously 2021 for the 4th of July. So hopefully folks have a great holiday week and stay socially distant and wear those face coverings, and we'll see you in early to mid-July.
Excellent. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana. Copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.